Welcome to Equip, the podcast by Connection Church. My name is Jordan Thigpen. I'm joined today by Russ DeMott. We're going to talk about how to get the most out of Connect Group, or if you're not in our connection world, you should be, how to get the most out of a small group. And so nobody can answer that question better than my boy Russ DeMott. And so I want to talk today both from your position as the director of discipleship, but also your years of experience of being in a small group, and we will kind of think through that today.
Yeah, that sounds great. So glad to be here.
Yeah. So I want to start maybe a little bit more. I think what I want to eventually get to is we kind of ping pong back and forth of like things that we would ways that we would answer that question, because I'm sure there's several things. This is very similar to what me and Brandon did a few weeks ago with how to get the most out of Sunday morning. But just share your heart and vision for why do small groups matter?
I think, number one, my heart for that why they matter is because they've mattered to me. And I can just look at some of the fruit and God's faithfulness in my life and his goodness to Casey and I can track that all the way back to the very first Connect group that I ever went to, which was led by Billy Shiver, and really was like the beginning of me understanding that who I claimed to be as a Christian, there wasn't actually any ground to that, because I got in a room with a bunch of guys and I could look and see like their life looks very different than mine does, but yet we're claiming the same thing. And so I think for me, it's just always been, since then, it's just been a part of our lives, right? Like there was never a time where we were like, you know what? I don't think we really need that Connect group thing anymore. Or like, you know what, that hasn't really mattered that much, and so we're going to pivot and we're going to choose to spend our time doing something else. For sure, there's different seasons of life that have led us to different Connect groups, but that community aspect has always been so important. But I think also just biblically, right, we talk about that a lot at Connection Church, of the reason we believe in community is because that's what we see in the Bible, is that early believers – the early church, they had an understanding that, like, this is something we're going to do together, and we're going to lock arm in arm more than just a corporate meeting, but, like, even in closer-knit relationships and families, like, we're gonna be in a community of people that hold each other accountable, that care for one another's burdens, that celebrate when things are going well, and we mourn when things aren't going well. And we're going to pray for one another. We're going to do life together. We're going to be a tribe, right? To use your language, we're going to be a tribe of people. And that's just how we're going to choose to be in relationship with one another. And so I think to condense all of that, I've seen the evidence of it in my own life, but also see the evidence of it in Scripture.
Right. Yeah, I think Sunday morning church allows you to share some niceties, but I think a small group allows you to share life.
Yeah.
And that's not always nice things. That's ugly things. That's difficult things. That's misunderstandings. That's how you handle correction. That's transitions and seasons. Like, choosing to be in community allows you it's not just like bandage for the wounds that you currently have. It's preparation for the wounds that you're going to get in new seasons of life as well. But having that community of people, that's so important. It's both preventative and it's healing at the same time. So give everybody a little bit of, just share with folks, like, how do we tend to structure Connect Group, and how is a Connect Group different than other types of small groups?
Yeah, so I think, you know, Connect Group, funny enough, Connection Church, Connect Group, but it's structured in a way that, you know, we talk about, like, what is a successful Connect Group? We want it to be somewhere around 10 to 12 people. Sometimes that gets up to 15 or 20, especially with our College Connect groups. There tends to be this thing of, like, there may be 25 guys or girls in a group, but, you know, 15 show up on a weekly basis for whatever reason, but the groups seem to get a good bit larger in college. But I think the main difference between a Connect group or a Bible study or anything else, at least for me, is that we have a very clear vision of where we're going. There's a very clear purpose and a mission of the group, is that this group is designed to bring people together, for them to be equipped, for them to grow in their faith, so that then we can multiply, so that now a new Connect group leader or small group leader is being sent out to open more space for people to experience that community that's been so life-changing for that person. And that's, you know, that's how the church is going to go as well. You know, mm-hmm. as we are able to raise up leaders within Connect groups, we're going to hopefully have future staff members for other Connection network churches. We're going to have future long-term cultural workers mm-hmm. to go to the mission field. We're going to have future church planners as pastors, mm-hmm. worship leaders. You know, you fill in the blank with any of those spaces, but that people have gotten in a group. They've caught the vision. They've caught the mission, the purpose. They've grown in their faith. They've yeah. grown into the fullness of Christ, and now they're going to be sent out.
Yeah.
Where I think a lot of times, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with studying the Bible together, but there's just the heart of that is different, right? A Bible study can be, well, this is my group of people, and those people can maybe stay together for years and years and years and years with no, like, heart to multiply or to take this to the other people mm-hmm. around them that maybe don't have that. And so I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a mm-hmm. Bible study. That's just not what we believe a Connect group is.
Yeah.
From a sense of the design and the purpose for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's right. Like, we encourage people start Bible studies. Like, go into your workplace. Yeah. Go into your classrooms, your friend group. Start a Bible study.
For sure.
That's a good thing. And I think that sometimes what I've seen and experienced, what people will find is that, or what happens is that people find inconvenient people inconvenient to their study.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore it's less about people. It's really more about me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of a negative side can be of Bible study. Where Connect Group is, it's about the people,
right?
It's about my walk with the Lord. It's your walk with the Lord. And how does our life match up to the overall confession of Christ? And so, but as you were talking and explaining it, like, it really kind of further clarified in my mind even more that, like, Connect groups make all of our one more times possible,
mm-hmm.
whether it's raising up one more church planner, one more cultural worker, missionary, you know, one more disciple maker, and seeing one more person be saved, one more person take step of baptism or heart and soul. So Connect groups are where a lot of that's when we say real life change happens in community,
mm-hmm.
that's what one of the things that we mean is all these one mores become possible.
That's right.
So for folks, when we think about Connect group, how do people get the most out of Connect group? We'll just ping pong this back and forth of when you think of that, what's one thing, big thing, small thing, what comes to mind of how to get the most out of Connect group?
Man, I could answer that in so many different ways, and I'm sure we will as we ping pong back. But one thing is just, I think, being real.
Mm.
Like, don't come to Connect Group and be somebody on Tuesday night that you're not throughout the rest of the week. And, you know, you've said this, and I agree with this statement of, I want to know just as much about what God's not doing in your life as what He is. I want to know about the things like, why are you struggling to get in the Word? Why are you struggling to pray? Because I want to help walk alongside people and walk through those struggles and those pains and whatever's going on in your life that is preventing you from having, in that season, from having that intimacy with mm-hmm. the Lord. Like, let's deal with it. And yeah. don't feel like you have to come and hide that part of your life or, mm-hmm. you know, and so I think, just be real. Be yeah. who you are the rest of the 6 days of the week. Be that person at Connect Group that one night of the week so that you can grow and so that you can be seen and be known deeply by the people that are in your group.
Yeah, I would piggyback on that of – I don't know why I felt weird about saying piggyback. Piggyback is a weird word, but I would add to that of be real – and be okay experiencing conviction, but don't experience condemnation.
That's right.
The point of it is not to look at someone else's life and, you know, wallow in shame through comparison, but be inspired. Be convicted. I mean, that's same. Your story is the same as mine. Of where it was Billy Shiver's house, but it was Buck Benton leading the Connect group, and I just looked around at a bunch of guys that had something that I didn't have. And we walked through the book of Romans, and I was inspired. You know, I was challenged that they had something in relationship to Jesus that I didn't have, but it was inspiring too. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, these are guys that are like going to class, making good grades, like genuinely loved Jesus, when they opened the Bible, they were excited. God was showing them things.
Yeah, that's right.
And they'd go win intramural championships. And they would go play weekend softball tournaments and win.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't get blistered drunk. Mm-hmm. They would just be normal guys. But, I mean, they would go, you know, just all those things. That was just all everything that I thought I wanted my life to be like, they were doing, and doing it according to God's design. And their life was flourishing and blossoming, and mine was wilting and dying. And that's that conviction led me to a place of willingness that I would trade what I thought about my life for what God thought about my life. And it didn't lead me to pull away and say, well, I guess I'm not them. I guess let me go find my people.
Yeah.
You know, it inspired me, and that conviction led me to a moment of salvation. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage folks, whether it's salvation or not, like for you, don't walk in, choose to be real, and then wallow in condemnation. Mm-hmm. Let it lead you to a place of conviction.
Yeah. Wow.
What else?
I think just being hungry too. Like, come expectant that God's going to move, that, you know, you're going to, he's spoken to other people just like he's spoken to you. And come with questions. Come with, hey, when I read this, and not like fearful of, well, if I say the wrong thing, like I'm going to be chastised of, like, no, that's not actually what the scripture means. But like, come and say, hey, I kind of felt like this. Is this what y'all guys thought when you read this passage, or am I missing it? You know, come ready to like dive in and break down the scripture, and let's get to like, what is God saying here?
That's such a good observation. I do see people, like, they come in a connect group and they feel like they need to say, here's what it means to me. And they're dreading the moment that maybe, and the whole group is on like pins and needles, mm-hmm. of like, I hope nobody disagrees with me. I hope nobody tells me I'm wrong. Versus opening with the posture of like, is this what God was saying? Is this what this means? Like, is this what, am I reading this correctly? These are great questions to have. And coming with a sense of humility and hunger of expecting. I like the way you said that. I think that's really good.
Yeah, I've seen, it seems like some of the greatest moments in Connect Group that I, you know, over the years was like when we really dug in and began to like filter through even people's like worldviews and like, you know, maybe misbeliefs about God's character, and all that came through like reading scripture and realizing that like five or six people read the same passage and got five or six different things, but the scripture means what it means. And so let's figure out what that is and then be able to address like, why am I believing something different about who God is, and work through that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
I had one. I got to thinking about what you were saying, and my mind went blank. Accept the fact, this would be another one that I would say, how to get the most out of Connect Group. Accept the fact that it's not going to be convenient until you make it a priority. Like, if you're only going to go on the weeks that it's convenient, you're basically never going to go.
Yeah, for sure.
But if you go because you've made it a priority, then it becomes convenient because you've rearranged your life in order to. So the question is, like, does it have the return on investment that we claim for it to? I would point to the hundreds and thousands of lives that have been changed as it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
People have found real community, found real friendships, have experienced real life change. We've seen salvations. We've seen people raised up to go and plant churches. We've seen people grow in their understanding of the word. We've seen people set free from depression and anxiety. Like, I think it's worth it. I think the investment's worth it.
Yeah.
When you show up, a lot of what we've said, to be real, to be transparent, to experience conviction, to make it a priority, that would be my thing, is like, we have them on about every night of the week. So find an evening or a night of the week that works for you. And don't feel shame or condemnation that if you're not in one yet, or if you've been out of one for a season, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's get back in the game and let's figure out and change the paradigm from like, how can I make this most convenient for me, to I need to make this a priority, and what is going to help me make this a priority?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wanted to say, like, people, like, this is some blanket statement, but the truth of it is, it's true for Case and I, too, is we're going to make time for what's important to us, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't say that.
Whether it's working out or a milkshake.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't drink my milkshake, by the way. But I can't say that Connect Group is important and then constantly choose other things over it.
Right.
And those two things, you know, be true.
Yeah.
And I don't, again, if you're listening and you're not in group or you've been out of group for a season, I'm not saying that for you to feel condemnation. I'm just, eyes wide open, look in the mirror. We're going to make time for what's important.
Yeah.
What do you think, thinking about, like, people in different seasons of life, how do you pick the Connect Group to go to? Like, how do, if somebody's listening, they're like, man, I need to get back in a Connect Group. How do you go about, like, what group do I go to? We have couples groups, everybody groups, men's groups, women's groups.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a different opinion on this probably than most people. I mean, I think some people want to find a group that also gives them a pathway to friendship and they are looking for things that are the most similar. For me, I'm looking for what helps me grow the most, just personally. And you grow the most across lines of difference. And so we have led an Anybody and Everybody Connect group for several years now, and we just handed it off. And so we've stepped out of that season. I'm not saying that it's not difficult. It's definitely difficult, but I mean, for several years now, I've benefited from being in a Connect group with multiracial couples, with crunchy moms that make their own fruit roll-ups, and with guys that I wouldn't have probably, like, that are like widowers in their 50s, with widows in their 60s, mm-hmm. with college students in their 20s, and all of us being in there together and having to figure out, like, how are we going to get along? You know, how are we going to, already because there's so much difference, there's a higher priority, which is Jesus. And mm-hmm. so then that changes the whole dynamic of, like, I'm not here because I am sort of interested in Jesus, but very interested in you fixing my loneliness problem. I'm here because I want more of Jesus, and this allows me to have that.
Yeah.
And your experiences, they matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I can learn more about who the God of the universe is because we spend time together and we open God's word together. And there's wisdom for me to gain, and there's wisdom for me to give. And it forces me, because there's an anybody and everybody, somebody older than me, somebody younger than me, somebody very different from me, somebody very similar to me that is having a very different experience. It forces me to both be discipled and to disciple.
Yeah, that's right.
What about for you?
I think, you know, Case and I have been in men and women's groups. We were in college groups. Now, you know, we were in a couples group. Now we have led a couples group for a while before. We just recently handed our group off as well. But something I've thought about, I think for sure more recently, is I wonder if it makes the dynamic harder to multiply when it has become a group of, like, the similarities. Like, man, all these people are very similar. This is kind of my comfort area. And it's just something I thought about recently of you know, if Case and I, you know, ever started another group or ever mm-hmm. attended another group, I think I'd be interested in going to an everybody group just to see a different dynamic. And to your point, I think it helps you grow more.
Yeah.
I think getting a little bit out of the comfort of these people have very similar values mm-hmm. from just like a what do they enjoy doing in life. So they're probably going to agree with a lot of what I had to say.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to have very similar experiences, and they're going to have very similar perspectives and mm-hmm. wanting to, like, be pushed a little bit of hearing from somebody that maybe has grown up different, that enjoys different things, that has different experiences and perspectives on things.
Right.
And
yeah.
So maybe a hot take, but I think I'm starting to lean more to, like, these everybody groups can be very beneficial to our growth.
And I think that, like, don't hear our words as all or nothing.
For like, sure.
Like, I think of a lot of, like, new moms. Like, one, that might be a season that you just need other moms that, mm-hmm. That just is comforting in that season to have people that just know the type of specific love that you need.
That's
for
right.
sure. Or and some of this is going to really change whenever we get care groups up and going mm-hmm. of, like, when you've got specific trauma or experiences that you need people around you, but you need people that know how to care for you based off of the circumstance of season of suffering or trial that you're walking through. I mean, that's going to be a game changer. But I mean, I can see, like, you're a college guy for a short amount of time. Maybe there's, I mean, that both of us, our lives were changed in a college connect group. And so I think, Maybe the better category that our answers fit under is how can you pursue maturity the fastest?
Yeah.
Isn't in anybody and everybody yeah. group. Maybe if, like, for starting out, for people that are new or they're new to the Christian community, they maybe need people
yeah.
That are a little bit more similar to them.
Absolutely.
But when I look at Acts 2, I mean, in Acts 1, literally they are hearing the voice of the apostles in all these different languages.
Mm-hmm.
So inherently, there are substantial cultural differences. And then all those people, it says over 2,000 of them got saved, and they added to their number those who were saved. They were all together. They had all things in common. They were immediately across cultural lines and,
yeah.
and ethnic lines and experiences and life stages, and households are getting saved. And so it's all, I mean, probably single apostles like Peter, like James and John, mm-hmm. or Peter's obviously married, but other of them are not. They're single young men.
Yeah.
Like, maybe in their, like, 18, 19, 20s, they're now serving widows. And so there's a lot of value in the spiritual growth that happens across lines of differences. But anyway.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It's another way. What's another piece of advice you'd give our folks of how to get the most out of Connect Group?
I think, this may be a little selfish on my own, coming from the discipleship director side, but have an eye towards multiplication, coming with to group. Now, if you're new to group and you're, again, this is going to change when care groups happen, but if you're coming and you're in a season of life where you're just battling and you need to be poured into and cared for, I'm not saying, hey, you're raising your hand saying, hey, send me, but like my life's falling apart. No, you need to sit and yep. be mended and restored and equipped and encouraged. But don't come to group with an expectation of like, oh, this is going to be my life group and I'm going to spend the next 20 years here in this group. But yeah. like, come with a heart to be a part of the mission of what Connection Church has felt like God's given us through Brandon, that we're going to plant 50 churches with the help of the network. And I think so many people think that that's like so far removed from Connect Group. But like, that starts in Connect Group.
Right.
As Connect Groups multiply, leaders are raised up, that's how churches get planted. Right. And so I think coming with a heart and just a vision to like want to be a part of that. I want to come mm-hmm. to group. I want to get mended and restored and equipped and encouraged and raised up to then where I can say, hey, I'm send me. I'm ready to go plan a new group.
And I would have given an adjacent lane to that, which is set your eyes on somebody in this group is going to go out and plan a group. It doesn't have to necessarily be you.
Yeah.
But like if Matthew 6:33 is correct, right? Wait. That's seek first the kingdom of God and all this will be added. Yeah. I'm thinking of the come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I can see it on Billy's wall. He has a big poster of it with a net on it. And I can't recall the verse. But that as we follow Christ, he will help us fish for people.
That's right.
And there's going to be somebody within there that is sent out to go fish for more people.
Mm-hmm.
And part of my responsibility in group is to cultivate that, celebrate that, encourage that. And there's a fine line between like, oh, I love you. I can't imagine not having you in my life. I can't imagine not having you in my group. And we can get a little too far of painting doomsday scenarios of like, I'm never going to see you again.
Yeah.
It's just not the case. It actually adds a layer of joy mm-hmm. that I'm now something deeper than a connect group member. I'm now like a partner in the gospel.
That's right.
Together.
Amen.
There's something greater than just being buddies.
And those relationships for sure change. They're different. You know, like I think about some of the first people that Case and I sent out, you know, the Connors, like we went from knowing that we would see them every week to like, it just doesn't happen anymore. But that didn't like change the level of our friendship or the closeness right. of our relationship. It just changed the dynamic of it a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, just not to be fearful of like, mm-hmm. fearful of that.
Yeah. When the Bible speaks of do not worry about tomorrow, right? Like don't, for today has enough worries of its own. Like when we're filling in the gaps of the future of thinking, here's what's going to happen if I am faithful to do this, mm-hmm. we're filling in the gaps that we don't have the sovereignty and wisdom
right.
to really fill in. You don't know. You don't know what's yeah. going to come of that.
What else?
It's your turn.
No, it's your turn.
I said adjacent to that.
You're killing me with these piggybacks and adjacents.
That's because I don't show up with a plan.
Yeah,
I'm completely
right.
making
that's
this
right.
up as I go. You didn't have to say that's right.
I'm just agreeing with you because I'm nervous and I don't have anything else to say at the moment.
That's okay. Is you got nothing else? Nothing else comes to mind?
Not off the top of my head. I think I've poured out everything out that I have.
Ways for people to get the most out of Connect Group. I'll tell you one that I hear from Connect Group leaders. I had this conversation recently. Show up with your Bible.
Mm.
That's an easy one.
Yeah,
show
for
up.
Sure.
But actually, it does matter. Show up expecting God to speak through His Word. I give you another one. Learn to pray out loud.
Hmm.
That should be if you can't feel safe praying out loud in front of people that you're in a small group with, that's something to really explore.
Yeah, and going off of that, something that just came to my mind is protecting the intimacy of the group. Like protecting that
great.
People are coming willing to share, and the
it's
last thing you need
to
do
to
is to go out tomorrow, the next day at work, and can you believe what's going on in so-and-so's
yeah.
life?
Yeah.
And, like, just fight to protect the intimacy and the, like, the family that you have in your Connect group. That's one of the most disheartening things that I hear, you know,
yeah.
of, like, gossip becoming to happen because somebody shared something in, like, transparency and vulnerability in a Connect group, and now it's made it outside of that group.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Anything else? Kate, did we miss anything? Any keys to being in a Connect group? How to get the most out of it? I feel like you got a hot take over there. Come on. Follow Run Kate Run on Instagram. Is that the other key? Cool. Anything else?
Get in a Connect group.
Get into a Connect group.
If you're listening and you're not in one, I just don't think that like we can talk enough about just the importance of the life change that does happen. And I think so many things pull at our time and pull at you know, tug at us for energy, but like it really is. I mean, yeah, it just really is so important. I mean, I can even think about just moments in my life where Case and I were just fighting to survive, and the level of accountability and care that our Connect group was able to offer, and just even like carrying us in seasons when we didn't feel like we could carry ourselves. And so
that's right. And speaking of that, I would say one last one: encourage your Connect group leader.
For sure.
That would be a great way to get the most out of it, because they carry a spiritual load in that group of wanting, they pray for you, they go to the Lord on your behalf, they worry about you. They seek wise counsel regarding how to best care for you. Encourage them.
Yeah,
love them. I'll tell you who did this so well for me is Matt and Becca Miller. Like when we were leading group, they were such an encouragement. They were always so vocal about their appreciation for us. And that's just something that stuck with
me. Yeah, I mean, that goes such a long way.
Yeah. So encourage your Connect group leader. It's what they're doing matters. And so that'd be the last thing I'd share.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, cool. Thank you for making time to do this.
Yeah. Always, all right. Man.
Love you guys. Love for you to click like, subscribe, share this with somebody that this would be beneficial for, and we will see you on the next episode.